Thank you. Next item on the agenda, public hearing, proposed amendment to Regulation 4VAC 20-37010 to repeal a prohibition on harvest and possession of dark sponge crabs and establish an additional blue crab sanctuary in an area that extends out to the 3-mile limit line from the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay, then southward along Virginia Beach coast to Virginia, North Carolina line. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir.
I think what I want to start out by saying, Dr. Lipschitz has been visiting us for quite a while. He's back there now. He's been here for several hours, and I know he's been talking to Mike Meyer about artificial reefs as well. Dr. Lipschitz had contacted us earlier in the week and asked that this be postponed in terms of a decision. And staff agrees with that for two reasons, and they both involve Dr. Lipschitz. First of all, Dr. Lipschitz and his staff have been involved in looking into the sponge crab issue and the mortality of sponges and female crabs. Dr. Lipschitz indicated he would like a little more time. I don't know whether he has a probabilistic mortality model, but he is working with Dr. John Honig at VIMS, and he also thinks there might be some peer review of this by the time we meet in April, and I'll certainly welcome his comments if we can do that in a minute. The other part of this is the sanctuary end of it, and Dr. Lipschitz has been the proponent of sanctuaries and been before the commission several times, starting back, as you can see from your summary sheet, back in 1994, there was an expansion of the sanctuary, the original 1942 sanctuary, by 75 square miles. There were also expansions that occurred in 2000, which was 435 additional square miles, and 2002, which was an additional 272 square miles, so that up until today, the sanctuary acreage is 927 square miles. So Dr. Lipschitz is also involved with that aspect of crab conservation. Staff is still recommending that you hold the public hearing today and take comments, and I think one thing that I handed out, or actually Joe handed out to you, Commissioner, was a photograph of the sponge crabs in various stages. And the way the regulation has existed, and you can find this on your summary sheet under the 1996 era, was to prohibit the possession of dark-colored, which is brown through black, sponge crabs with a 10 sponge crab per bushel tolerance. And that really involves, if you look at that photograph as it passed around, it's involving all these stages of the brown, which is harder to see here than on your photograph, through the black coloration. So it's these stages which harvesters have been able to take without having to throw back, even with the tolerance. And it's the orange masses. Certainly, Dr. McConaughey and Dr. Lipschitz have a good understanding of this process, but what I understand is that this whole event may be about a 16-day event from start to finish. So that gives you some indication of how quick in time it is. The other thing on sponge crabs that just wanted to provide to you, and that might be difficult to read. Let's see if I can bring this up differently if you have just a second. Yeah, that's better. Well, maybe not. This is an indication of what we did in 2002. In 2002, it was still the tail end of the 15% reduction in, and I'll fill in the in part in just a minute, but it was a 15% reduction, and staff, together with industry, working with industry, came up with a scenario of what it would be like to get savings from not harvesting during either a week or 2 weeks were the proposals at the time. But the important part of this information is we looked at the various areas of the bay, either the lower bay, the upper bay, or the tributaries, the lower part of the tributaries, and we came up with our best idea of multipliers, in other words, 75% of sponge crabs in May in the lower bay were considered to 75% of females were considered to be sponged, 100% when you get to the June through August period, and so on. So you can see a more minor contribution from the lower tributaries in general. Again, this is sort of an ad hoc approach that we did with industry. But I think it's important as you're looking at this issue and the public to realize that we have had something, a regulation in place to throw back sponge crabs. And the science is now telling us in general that perhaps not only are we not benefiting conservation, we may be hindering it a little bit. And I'm going to paraphrase what Dr. Lipschitz told the Crab Committee last week, which was, if you think about throwing back the sponge crabs and not getting any benefit from doing that, the dark-colored sponge crabs, and then that same crabber having to move somewhere else to exploit other crabs, really the problem's worse than it should be. The second part of this is really just to give you a very general idea, which I'm going to come back to that. The second part of this is the sanctuary. And as you can see, between Joe Grist and Royce Bridger, they have been able to map out the corridor here. This is the 3 mile limit line, and you can see the existing sanctuary all through here, the 927 acres. In here, in the cleared out area, represents the original 146 square mile sanctuary that was established in 1942. Might get a better shot of it here. Here's the original 1942 sanctuary. Here's what was added on in both 2000. Over here was added on in 1994, and then 2000 and 2002 are the bulk of this, with an extension out right to the Bay Area, right by the mouth, into the ocean, so that you can see a better idea here. There's a little tail of sanctuary offered here and down to the North Carolina line, out to the 3 mile limit line. That's what's proposed, and I think the idea was that extra 94.2 miles of sanctuary does a couple of things. It's not currently a harvest area. In 2006, there were only two harvesters there. In the past, before this was put in place, there were more harvesters along the beach. But the important thing is, if there is to be a lifting of the prohibition of throwing back dark sponge crabs, then this is a heavily laden area with sponges, and it would be a sanctuary like the others from June 1 to September 15th. And I think most of the crab management advisory committees have been terming this as conservation equivalency, essentially. I'm not sure that it's not even a little bit better if the science tells us definitively that throwing back the dark-colored sponge crabs really does not have the benefits that were thought 12, 13 years ago. The only other thing that I have on that is that, if I can go back here successfully, okay. I think in all of this, and if you just allow me about 2 or 3 minutes, I'll go through it, but we're trying to look at what some have viewed as piecemeal measures. You know, you're doing this, you're doing one option, you're doing another management measure, you're doing this. As you can see from the handout I gave you on the summary, the commission at all times has looked at a host of management options and selected from that menu, essentially. But the most important thing in looking at this is the objective. I think in the last 8 years, there's been a lot of work from the Bi-State Committee at some portions of that, from the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee, which is NOAA, the state agencies, and others have been working continuously to come up with some type of a management guideline. And this is it in the form of a control rule. And if you look at this, you can see on the top, right here, a line going down. This is not an analytical basis, but this is the determination of whether the stock is overfished or not. Go to the left of that line, it's definitely overfished. Here's 2005 estimates of the stock. Certainly a big improvement compared to 2003. I don't have all the data points, but a great improvement over 1999. In fact, 1999 is the lowest abundance, 90 million crabs, and it's used as sort of an experience basis for where to set the overfish threshold. But there is a threshold there to go by now. In terms of the green line here going horizontally and the red line, those were analytically derived, and they are based on fishery science concepts. And the target right here is about 0.46, 0.47, right around in there, of a harvest rate. By a harvest rate, what fraction of the crabs are removed strictly by fishing activities each year? Well, if you're removing somewhere between 46 or 47% and 53%, which is the red line, then it tells you that the stock is in fairly good shape based on this characteristic. But this is only one characteristic, and the problems that we often see, we look at the harvest and we say, what is the harvest doing this year? What is the harvest doing this spring? And if you look at this bay-wide harvest, you can see that it's really all over the place. And you can see the reporting changes down here, Maryland twice, Virginia once in 1993. But you certainly can't avoid looking at that kind of a decline. I mean, there is a little bit of an average kick-up. And on an individual year, here's 2005 and here's 2004. But the harvest is really not the only thing to go by in the management world. Now there is that control rule, and harvest is only one component. Another component that mostly all fishery management plans look at is what is the status of the female stock, for example. And here's a depiction from the winter dredge survey. This is females, adult females, and you can see the trend. You can see that in 2005, these bands here are considered average amounts. You can see that it's average here, but you can also see that there's a lot of movement with these dredge survey points, these indices. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why when you look more closely just at the fall VIM survey, which is done just in the spawning stock, the previous slide is bay-wide, then you can see that there's really been a pattern, which Dr. Lipschitz has talked about year after year, because I have heard it, of fairly static, little improvement in terms of the actual potential or spawning crabs on the spawning grounds. And, that's really the type of thing that you have to look at. Not just the harvest, you have to also look at the spawning stock. Exploitation, as you saw a little bit before in the control rule, gives you a little bit of information. Exploitation in 2005 was quite low. 37% of the crabs removed strictly by fishing. Well below the target of 0.455 or 0.46. Well below the threshold. This dotted line here, threshold, just means once you're over that threshold, who knows how many years before you have biological instability, before you have reproductive problems in the stock. The problem right now is that we have something to show everyone. We have a control rule, but we need a little more time to see where this exploitation rate fits in, because it has bounced around too, from 0.6 down to 0.37. Here it was just at the target. So I thank you for indulging me on that, because it is a little more refined in terms of having the control rule and just looking at harvest to make management decisions, but there's going to be a few more years before we have some certainty about the exploitation rate. In the meantime, I think everyone should pay attention to the VIMS fall survey and the fact that it's been about a dozen years and, you know, the potential spawning stock or spawning stock remains at low levels. If you ask, well, then how does the exploitation rate remain low? Then that's something we need to dig in a little more deeply on what the effort is like, what the trade-offs are like to at least keep the exploitation rate down, because they are coupled, you know, with the average abundance, with the exploitation rate, and with the catch. They're all coupled together. So again, our recommendation is to wait till next month for a decision. That's what we have is in the format of the evaluation today. And Dr. Lipschitz is here, as I mentioned.
One concern I've got, Rob, you said that the staff suggests we have the public hearing today. Rob, if your information is not going to be the most recent information today, can the public make an informed comments and say what needs to be said today? You can come forward maybe. That's my only concern. When I make comments, I want to have the best information I can. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Commissioner Bowman. Actually, I don't expect our recommendation or support of the staff recommendation to change at all. In fact, if anything, what I would expect is that it's going to get even stronger.
Okay.
So
with that,
what we wanted to do was basically provide other elements of information. About the handling mortality, that's not going to change. We've seen that, so we think a fairly significant fraction of the sponge crabs are dying. So I can hold off until the next meeting, if you wish. I did want to mention one other thing, this dredge fishery issue.
Okay.
I was on that same committee as Dr. McConaughey, and we were also troubled over the long term. So what we've done is we've looked at some information regarding what the dredge fishery does in terms of exploitation. And just for your benefit, the dredge fishery is a well-behaved fishery in terms of, if you saw what Rob presented, right, the exploitation fraction was very high at low abundance, and the exploitation rate dropped at high abundance. That's a poorly behaved fishery. A well-behaved one is one where the exploitation fraction increases. As an example, this is a sort of a low density of people, and let's say you were to take 60% of these, 60% of them died, that's a high exploitation rate. If the audience were full, it would only take 40%, only 40% would die. That's what's happening in the overall pod fishery, I think, but not the dredge. The dredge, when it gets down this low because of overhead and such, actually takes a lower fraction of those, which allows it to rebound.
Right.
So overall, I would, I guess, reemphasize or strengthen that about the dredge fishery.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Mr. Chairman?
Dr. McConaughey.
Just a question, Ron.
Yes.
You and I have had some email exchanges back and forth, so that, get that out there. On your reanalysis, are you going to take into consideration other factors like temperature and DO and on mortality?
The data that we have, we checked on the DO, and there doesn't appear to be any problem with DO. There's high temperature. So I don't expect we're not going to actually reanalyze that data. What we're doing is preparing as Rob mentioned, a model that looks at displaced effort and the mortality of the brown and black sponges. And so we're going to do that. In addition, we hired a postdoctoral scientist in the back, Kate Mansfield, and she's going to do a review for you that's going to look at all the fisheries, crustacean fisheries, all crabs and lobsters, to show what trap handling mortality is like in the other ones. What we see so far is that those that are in warmer waters suffer pretty high trap-related mortality. So we'll have that review for you at that point.
Okay.
Are you going to change your opinion or your recommendation between today and next month?
I do not expect, except maybe to make it stronger. That's what I expect.
To make it stronger, meaning?
Meaning in stronger support of the staff recommendation.
Well, it would seem to me that if he's not going to change his recommendation and we've advertised for the public hearing,
That's my intent.
Why shouldn't we move forward
we
and
will.
Make a decision today?
Well, I don't know about making the decision. Based on the staff's request, considered deferring it, but now, well, because I would like, before we make a decision, to what if, you know, science does change? What if it does change? And I, in something as important as this, want to have the best science available. So, Rob?
Yeah, I think staff would still say it would be prudent to wait until next month, because I've only given you a little bit of information on this whole problem.
Seemed like a lot to me.
And, and I think you should have the benefit of Dr. Lipschitz's full work and see what the model's telling, and then look at the other crustaceans and the behavior there. So I think you'll gain some information next month that you don't have today. I don't think, based on what Dr. Lipschitz says, it bears on the recommendation you have before you. But I do think that it would be wise to have that information.
No harm will be caused by delaying the decision.
No, as a matter of fact, we have until June 1. The sanctuary effective dates are June 1 to September 15th throughout that whole sanctuary acreage.
And there's sponges out there now, right. Anyway. That's
and the sponge crab you saw from the graph I showed, you know, really a little bit in May starting up. But, you know, really the hot time period is still, from what I know, July 10th to August 10th, July 15th to August 15th, around that time.
Okay. Just one final item that came out of the CRAB committee is that we are going to move forward with an additional study this year looking at males as well. I was suggested that we look into that, so that will be on the way.
Thank you, Rob.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think if we simply table this matter until the April meeting, that would give us the benefit of the additional information, and I don't think there's going to be any harm, obviously, given the fact that the sanctuary takes effect June 1.
Second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We'll hold a public hearing. Advertise it, please, for next month, because I really do have a little bit of discomfort. No harm intended, but if people are going to comment as intelligibly as they possibly can, I want all the information out on the table before we actually have it form. Whether or not it changes, I don't know, but I would prefer that.
Plus, people like to comment when we vote.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sure. Rob, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And Rob,
thank you.
The next item on the agenda, failure to report commercial harvest in accordance with mandatory reporting, Ms. Iverson.
Yes, sir. Patrick Johnson contacted our office this morning. He is not able to be here today due to transportation.